Record.
Aha, there we go. Now I can record. Okay, all right, we can get started. Okay, so I did set up a little agenda up on the wiki, and I thought we would just start with the meeting with Diana Brooking and see what anyone, any opinions or ideas or learn anything new or pick up any ideas. I found it interesting that, well, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, no, you were about to say something. I was going to jump in if you weren't going to say
Okay. Well, I found it very interesting that that they didn't do the same process that we're thinking of doing, or we are doing, where we're looking at, you know, the collection versus a vendor record or OZLC record. I was really surprised that they're like, oh, we're going to take those records. And so I thought that was just interesting and haven't come back to look at that. So I just thought that was interesting that they did that.
Well, I thought it was a little strange that they don't, from the sound of it, they didn't seem to be doing anything particularly systematic or consistent across the consortium. I mean, I sort of had the impression she kept saying, oh, well, the such and such library didn't like it, so they just did it this way.
Yeah, exactly.
Gee, that's kind of, that's fine, but it doesn't really facilitate the whole system working together. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So I just was, thought that was very interesting because I, for some reason, I was thinking they were trying to work together and put, you know, all this into the NZ, and it didn't really sound like that.
No, which to me seems undesirable, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was a little funny that basically they said they never really thought closely about using the knowledge base. The metadata was just too bad. Other institutions are doing it. I guess it works for them. I haven't looked into it again. It's like, I don't know. It's not the approach that I would have expected.
No. Well, so I guess it's up to us to do better.
Yeah. So yeah, that's sort of my takeaway was, well, that was interesting, but I don't know if that really helps us. So.
It was really useful, yeah. Well, you know, she did mention talking to Wisconsin. And I wondered about that because maybe Wisconsin is doing something a little more, how shall we say, organized or well thought out or something. Maybe it would be worthwhile talking to them.
Yeah, I thought about that too. I'm curious because they always seem to be coming up as anytime we ever talk to somebody from Orbis is, well, have you talked to Wisconsin? It sounds like more like that's who you need to talk to. So like someday we really need to talk to Wisconsin.
Yeah, really. Well, I guess we just, people have contacts with Orbis, so we haven't, I don't know if we know anybody in Wisconsin, do we? Does anybody in this group know anyone in Wisconsin?
Yeah, anyone? Yeah, I haven't had a lot of communication with them.
Yeah. Well, I guess we could just look on the website. I mean, surely the consortium has a website of some sort and just send a plea for help.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. What'd you guys do for ebooks? Especially if there's something there that we can look at already and if there was something helpful they had.
Yeah.
I guess the one other question that I really got from the meeting was talking about Primo Central. This is unclear to me for most ebook providers, how great or what level of stuff they're really providing to discovery vendors. So like how many books have a book level record or like chapter level records? Because when I've done searching, it seems like pretty uneven, like what shows up in Primo Central from, let's say, like eBrary. So it's kind of unclear what role, you know, the ebook information in Primo Central could play in discovery for ebooks.
Yeah, I wasn't clear on that either. Because she made it sound like they were getting duplicated information from having something activated in the Primo Central Index versus having a record for it in the catalog somewhere. And that was odd to me.
Well, I mean, that's, if you look at the way that like we're implementing stuff now, that's happening in some cases.
Okay.
And so because like through eBrary, for example, they might have like a book level record that shows up because we have it activated in Primo Central. And so that's showing up, plus we're also getting like a knowledge base record if it's in eBrary. And then because of like some strange local practices, there might also be, you know, just like a MARC record that was brought over from the PDE process. Mm. And so there are also some other, you know, ebook vendors that do have stuff that's showing up with like book level records through Primo Central. And so I know in some instances that data is coming through that way, but it's like, it's very unclear to me, even for a big subscription package, like, you know, the eBrary package, you know, whether that, like how close that is to being complete for the package. It's like, does every book have a book level record? Like how many things have chapter level records that would be showing up? Like, I'm not sure how we would even find that information, because what you get from Primo Central, like, is so limited as far as you know very little about what's actually coming through with any of those collections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and it made me wonder, as you said, in terms of discovery, is it better or worse to have it turned on in Primo Central Index versus relying on the record for discovery? And do you have any experience with that? I mean, just from looking at it yourself?
Yeah, I don't. It's really unclear to me. I almost wonder if we need to have like a joint meeting or a joint task force with like discovery or something to talk about some of this with ebooks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we came up with Alma and Primo, when we migrated, we had records in our catalog from Alma, from Triple I, that we migrated over. And then our systems people just kind of activated everything in the Primo Central Index by mistake or something. And so we were getting duplicates showing for ebooks. We would get the book level record, as Chris was talking about, from the Primo Central Index, and then we were getting our records from that we migrated from III. And our public service people weren't liking that. And I can't go back that far and tell you, because I think at that time I was actually on 1012 for that month. And so I only saw the emails going. And so I can't tell you exactly how that was displaying. But also it's kind of complicated, because after that, we turned on the deduping feature. So I think there are a lot of factors that are involved. It might be a good idea to get together with people in the discovery task force and kind of, you know, put our heads together and see what might be the best way to tackle this.
That's a good idea. I hadn't really thought of that until she brought it up, that there's this other side to it in the ebooks, and not knowing the quality that's being sent over, quality and I guess quantity too, of what's coming over from PCI.
I mean, we haven't, at Sacramento, what we've decided to do is we use vendor records. we import vendor records into Alma for our ebook collections. We don't use the community zone and we don't use the PCI. And that's been working for us. But, you know, that's not to say that, you know, that's the model that should be, you know, used, you know, consortia wide. And I was wondering too, you know, as you were all talking about, you know, referencing someone from Wisconsin. I just wondered, have you talked to other people from Orbis about this particular issue and how they're dealing with it? I just wonder if, you know, we might get a different perspective from someone else.
Well, we tried talking to one, there was one other person. I've forgotten her name.
I'm drawing a blank too.
The tech services folks were posing some cataloging related questions to her, but we did ask about ebooks and she's like, no, I don't know anything about that. I don't deal with it.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. Sometimes you have to go down to the staff level.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, Luis said he knew someone who did ebooks. So that's who he pointed us to. So.
And here's my question. I'm going to, full disclosure, I don't know a lot about ebook records because basically I got title lists from either Jody Shepherd or SDLC and I loaded them and that was the last time I looked at them, touched them, unless someone said, you know, activate or deactivate. So that's my experience with ebooks. So if we're doing this with the network zone and you use vendor records, what's the impact of using vendor records on the network zone?
Yeah, that was one of the questions that I had when we were talking with Diana yesterday, because she kept talking about importing records from the OCLC knowledge base. And so one of the questions that I had for you all is, if we're importing records into the network zone, must they have an OCLC number?
I don't know the answer to that.
Because yeah. I think that to me that would be kind of one of the questions that I would want to know. If it must have an OCLC number to be in the network zone, and are we going to be having kind of like a continuous schedule of updating our network zone records from OCLC, kind of batch updating, then what I was kind of hearing the other day from Diana was that, I mean, if that's the case, then that is that why they're using the OCLC knowledge base. And then Luis came in and said something about that, yes, we would have to be using that for something. So I had some questions about that, whether putting records into the network zone is it already kind of the plan that we would have to use OCLC knowledge base records, because Diana was talking about how some institutions were loading records, like say for instance vendor supplied records from Alexander Press, and loading them into their institution zone because they didn't have OCLC numbers. And so that's where I kind of started having questions where, you know, why would an institution say, you know, have a collection of ebook records or e-video records or whatever from Alexander Press, and it's not a consortia deal, it's just a direct deal. And so why wouldn't they put those in the network zone? Because there might be other campuses who might also subscribe to that package at some point, and so they would want to, you know, use those same records. But if those records are vendor supplied and they don't have OCLC numbers, and then does that mean that we cannot put them in the network zone? Am I making sense? Are you understanding where my kind of questioning is coming in? Or am I confusing things?
No, I had much like a similar question, because if you can, and I don't know the answer, but if you can load records that you've received from a vendor into the network zone. To me, that makes the best sense possible, because as you said, if you have a set of, you know, ebook packages or whatever, chances are someone else does too, and then everyone could benefit from having them available in the network zone. But that bit about the OCLC numbers, that's an unresolved question for me. Mm-hmm. It didn't sound, maybe we'll have to go back and ask Luis, because, you know, Diana was making it sound like the OCLC knowledge base, getting ebook records from that is like a real pain in the butt.
Right.
So why would you do it when there are much easier ways to get, most of the stuff that we download from vendors, it's not that difficult. You just get the package and there you are. I mean, you put it into market and do whatever you want to it and then upload it and it's fine.
Exactly.
So I thought, is there some roadblock to doing that? Because to me, that sounded much more sensible. But maybe we do need to ask Luis for a clarification about the whole OCLC number business.
I mean, it was my understanding that for something to move into the network zone, that you did need one, and that things that didn't have one were staying in the institution zone. I thought that was how it was going. And with reference to like the OCLC knowledge base, I mean, didn't EBSCO just move recently to not supply records any other way, for example?
Oh, EBSCO, really?
Yeah, for EBSCO eBooks, I think they're using WorldShare exclusively now. Mm-hmm. And so there are some vendors that now are no longer doing that. And certainly if you want like auto updates and that sort of thing,
right?
Just downloading them from a vendor site and getting them like through email or something doesn't work as well.
And are ProQuest records available through, also available through, OCLC knowledge base? I say I don't have much experience with the OCLC knowledge base record service, but I would assume that the EBSCO ebook records would be, I mean, ProQuest would be.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't have much experience with it either. JSTOR does their records solely through that, and we're still figuring it out. To be perfectly honest with you.
Uh-huh. Right. I mean, yeah, we've been using serial solutions for our records, so yeah, we don't have any experience with it either, really.
Well, I can talk to Eva here. She's, as I said, she's sort of grappling with it right now and see what her thoughts are about it. But yeah, that's the best knowledge I have so far.
Okay, then to throw another monkey wrench in. So, sorry to be, okay, so then what happens if, so, okay, these have licenses. How do you attach a license? If you have these bib records sitting in the network zone, how does that work versus using the e-collection package from the CZ and being able to attach it to a centrally maintained license and a vendor information?
But couldn't you still gather it into a collection? Even at the network zone level, just have it be a collection, right? You can link records up into a collection, correct? Yeah,
that's what we do. Okay. We at Sacramento, we create a local collection because we're not using the community zone for our ebooks.
Right.
We create local collections for each one of our ebook platforms, and that's where the licensing could live. We don't do licenses yet, but that's, I think, where the licenses could live.
Right.
That local collection.
That was my thought about it.
Okay.
Because I had been thinking specifically about these really oddball perpetual packages. So like the package isn't going to change. Mm-hmm. that these two, basically there's two of them that the system has that are available to everyone. So I was thinking about how to manage those. It seemed to me like what you would want to do is get from somewhere, from a library that has a really good set of records, or we get them fresh from OCLC or whatever, but have a hook in them so that we can gather them up, put them in at the network zone level, make sure they are in a collection, you know, CSU perpetual ebooks, and then all of the institutions can then, you know, activate that from the network zone.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so what we do with the eBrewery Academic Complete and the Safari is I don't know, monthly or however, I think Israel does it monthly. He imports either the file of either adds or deletes, and he has an import profile that's already created, and he'll bring them into MarkEdit, and he'll do any kind of, you know, local editing that we do. And then he imports them into Alma and associates them with the package.
Right. Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's already set up, you know, the import profile is set up, and we have, you know, instructions for what we want to add locally. And so everything's all set up. And so it's a relatively painless process. To do that.
Yeah, and so that's kind of why I was wondering, you know, if you could find an effective way for the subscription packages, right? They're a problem because they're always changing. So they have to be updated,
right,
on a regular basis because things go in and come out. That, you know, maybe you just did it on a schedule, you know, once a month or something.
I think
that load of the records at the network zone level and do that, but I don't know if that's really possible. The Diana made it sound like it's not.
Yeah, I don't know why it wouldn't be possible. It would just require someone to do that. As right. If we were going to do it centrally, it would require someone to do that. And I think that it was something was mentioned the other day in the meeting that, you know, of course we haven't really worked out that, you know, who's going to do the work centrally kind of thing. But I mean, it's something that could be done, but there was also, so there's the question of whether we have to get the records from OCLC knowledge base and not from, say, ProQuest. And if it's such a pain in the butt to use the OCLC knowledge base, so that's the one question, because it's not that difficult to use the records from the vendor.
Right.
But then the other on the other coin is the whole efficiency and quality kind of, you know, balance, and whether we feel like we can just accept the community's own data, mm-hmm, for what it is and rely on that data rather than having a person or an institution or someone who would be responsible for updating those packages in the network zone, you know, once a month or on a regular basis.
Right. I think particularly with something like the eBrewery package, there's a case to be made for just doing, you know, doing the knowledge base community zone kind of approach, because you activate it and that's kind of the end of the labor then, because, you know, any changes are going to kind of come through automatically, and it's going to be, at least in theory, you know, a faster process too. So that when they do their additions and deletions, that'll reflect a little bit sooner. And for a collection that's that massive and that changes at least twice a year, I think there's an argument to be made that that's usually Right, that the efficiency might outweigh the accuracy of the metadata. And I can say that, you know, at CSUN, for our EBSCO and eBrary ebook packages, I mean, that's what we do now. We just get records from serial solutions. We just activate it at the package level and just bring it in that way rather than getting, you know, vendor-supplied records, just because it's a little bit easier to manage and it seems to work at least well enough.
Yeah, and well, one thing to keep in mind, a couple things to keep in mind is that, and now I haven't checked recently, but the quality of the records for the eBrary Academic and the Safari packages were quite poor in the community zone, Ex Libris community zone, and they it was questionable about how accurate they were and how often they were updated. And in Serial Solutions, it may be very different because it is a ProQuest-owned company, and both Safari and eBrary are ProQuest products. And I think that we're going to be seeing probably a much better knowledge base very soon when now that ProQuest has taken over Ex Libris, and there is on the roadmap, I want to say for the summer, but don't quote me on that, that they're going to be kind of almost like replacing or like enhancing the current community zone with the data that ProQuest had, I think, maybe from the Serial Solutions knowledge base. Are you familiar with that, or has anyone heard about that?
I've seen a timeline, but I don't remember. It was this summer or next summer. I can't remember.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, that could also, you know, weigh into whatever decision we want to make. And I don't know if we want to spend time trying to do an analysis of the current data in the community zone, knowing that, you know, at some point fairly soon, the quality and accuracy of that could very well improve.
Yeah, and I think we can take our time on this one because we're not a final recommendation wouldn't even be need to be due until next year, as we're not recommending for test. And everybody kind of will get a chance to look at both if they happen to actually load both from SFX and their library catalog. So we could potentially slowly work at each one, find the pros and cons for either vendor OCLC or the CZ, and as that merge happens, we can investigate it, you know, is the CZ better now because of the data merge, the CKP merges.
Can anyone say whether, Lisa, you said the records in the CZ for like eBrary were very poor. Very poor meaning very skeletal?
Yes.
So like just titles and that's about it sort of thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So I suppose that's true of any other sort of analogous things. I'm thinking of like the streaming media collections. You know, like we had a bunch of Alexander Street Press, both video and audio collections, and we always got the records direct from Alexander Street Press, and they were pretty good. But do those exist in the CZ also? I confess I haven't looked.
I want to say no. For some of the larger ones. So I haven't been using the community zone, and we've only just recently been acquiring some Alexander Press stuff. So this is kind of new territory for me, but the last that I looked, I didn't see anything in the community zone, but that could very well be changing soon as well.
Well, yeah, indeed. Because it seems to me that anything we say about the ebook records, by analogy, applies to streaming media records, you know, music, video, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's kind of new territory for everyone. And then with the, you know, the Open Discovery Initiative, I think that, you know, is really gaining momentum. So hopefully we can start to see, you know, better quality metadata, even vendor metadata in the community zone for things like ebooks and streaming. But I don't think that they're there right yet.
For the Alexander Street Press specifically, it looks like they're still kind of building that out, where if you look at the collections, the number of titles associated with them, you know, it's like definitely only a subset of the titles are there. I share a screen real quick to look at an example of some of the different anchor sources here. Let's see if this is going to work. Okay. So, let's see. Just having Primo up. Okay. Is everyone seeing that?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, if you look at the first record here, this is one ebook that we bought it from the publisher directly from De Gruyter, and then it got added to the academic package from eBrary. Mm-hmm. And so we had it two ways already, because we had it active through SFX, and then we had a record that we had brought over. And then if you scroll down, you'll see there's also two additional records that come from Primo Central. But one thing about ebook records from the community zone is that I'd say it's really uneven, because this first one, I believe, actually comes from that, because this is our eBrary access. And it's actually, like, the record has contents down to, like, not just chapters, but, like, parts of each chapter. And so it actually has, like, a lot more than we would find in a standard record. And it has, you know, it has, like, the series identified and, you know, your publisher. So occasionally you'll get, like, a really decent-looking record, but then sometimes you'll get one where they don't even, like, have the correct date of publication, and there's, like, no information whatsoever. You just have, like, a title and the author and a link, and that's it. So I'd say there's, like, a real variability in what you get from the community zone. And then if you throw in some of the stuff that you can also get from Primo Central, and, like, you can see this record here, the source eBrary one, is coming through that way. It's, like, you know, they're putting the series title as, like, the title here. And then, like, some of these records seem to have issues with, like, the way they've listed the author. Like, in this case, it seems kind of weird to include the word author in the author's name. And so there's definitely a lot of variability in these records. They're not always terrible, but a lot of them are pretty scarce.
And then you said the second one is from, you downloaded it yourself, or?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if this one, because I think this one came through, like, if you look at the view it, right, you can see this was one that came through the P2E process.
And
it might have, we wouldn't have got it through Serial Solutions, I don't think, because this was a single title purchase. But right offhand, I'm not sure where exactly this came from. But right, so if you look, you can see, right, which two were, you know, the sort of the almost side records, and then which two were the ones that will show up in articles and more that came from Primo Central Index.
It's interesting the way those two display, that the one has the link off to the side. And the other one does not.
You mean as far as the...
When you look at the details?
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. So if you switch to the details tab, yeah, so that right. one has that link, and the other one under the details tab does not. It's,
Right. It's like the ones that come from the community zone, maybe, display that connect to online resource link. I'm not really sure why that displays here in details when you already have your
view it
link.
Yeah.
And of course, Get-It is primarily for the physical stuff, so.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so I just thought, you know, this works pretty well as an example, since it shows some of really like four different things for one title.
So all we have to figure out is how to sort that out.
Yeah. Any volunteers? yeah. And I had started a form on our the ERM task force on Google Docs, but now I'm seeing it's going to have to kind of be reformatted, where I had a tab for each book package so we could write down like pros and cons of, I guess, each thing. But, you know, look, is it better for, you know, look at each one if it's possible. OCLC KB versus a vendor record versus something that's, you know, from the CZ. But I wonder, no, I'm not going to say it. so I guess collect that information. You know, if you know records that are going to be, like you were saying, Chris, that, you know, you knew you purchased this one title, so you know to look at that one, and it's also in a collection. And so if we could start collecting those and keep the examples like that, you know, keep those as examples so that we can kind of prove our point, I guess, why we made a recommendation for something. Having that proof will help. When we make those recommendations for each one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does make sense to do it like that, where you sort of look at different, at least different types of collections, because, you know, something that's small scale compared to something that's massive scale. And then, like some of the records from the community zone for Safari, I think are kind of like extra bad because they seem to get the publication date wrong regularly. So I think that kind of a worksheet to go through would be good. Yeah.
I think that would be good. And that's, you know, especially since, you know, it seems to be, everybody agrees on the Safari record. So it seems like it'd be a pretty easy one to do the pros, cons, and a recommendation, you know, the CZ, you know, basically it has a title and, and sometimes even that information is not correct or, you know, that kind of thing. And then, the pros of using either the Safari records, which we already know that San Marcos does and loads. So could we take advantage of that since they already do that work and get those Safari records? Can we just get those loaded into the NZ, something like that, and then build a collection from that? And then, of course, it's a matter of then who takes care of that. Or, you know, taking OCLCs. From their knowledge base. And like you were saying that we can only get eBooks from there now. So that could be another, you know, give our pros and cons, but here's a recommendation and here's why, you know, either, I guess then it would be our options are OCLC or I don't know how the package looks in the CZ, but I don't know if they're bare records or not, but at least start with those easy ones. Maybe start with Safari, start with eBooks, and then the ones that may be a little bit harder, because I like the humanities ebooks. Has anybody looked at that package or look at those records or know anything about them? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And that was a really great example, Chris. And I don't know if there's an easy way that you could send us. You know, I was going to write it down, what that search was so I could redo it and look at it a little bit closer. But it what it made me kind of, and I hesitate to even bring this up, but another thing that we would probably want to put our heads together with the discovery folk is if we're going to have records for the same title from different places, we would want to know whether there's going to be a decision to turn on deduping and or ferberizing, because that's going to make a difference in what the display is, and it's also going to make a difference in what record gets promoted as the record if deduping or ferberizing happens. So just something to keep in mind, if the decision is made not to dedupe or ferberize, then you would just have separate hits for each of those different records, and they would all display individually. But if you turn on ferberizing or deduping, it will kind of create a master record. So depending on which scenario, I don't know how much of a factor that's going to play into what we recommend, but I just wanted to throw it out there as kind of, you know, a heads up kind of thing. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. So I put a link to the search up in the chat if people want to grab that. For the ferberization, I think that from what I gather, there's really quite a few options into how you do it. And I found other ebooks in this kind of situation where it does group them together and it does that like multiple versions found. But it looks like it's really based on ISBN. And sometimes, you know, because of the different issues with which version of the ISBN they grab, whether it's, you know, the how many digits they use and whether they use the ISBN for the print version or for the e-version. It's like, if you look at the example that I was using, there's like never enough commonality between the records and the ISBNs they use for them to like match together, I guess. And so I think there's some ways you can change the parameters for how they would get combined. And from what I hear, it can take quite a while to get that ironed out. But again, what I've heard is we should talk to Wisconsin about it. Because apparently they've done really well.
Yeah, there's a really, really complex weighting system and vectoring that happens in that for both the ferberizing and the deduping. And a lot of it depends on the quality of the records that you're working with too. So, you know, it's a big, hairy, ugly monster. I'm sorry to bring it up. So what you're telling me though is that in this instance that we looked at with your example, Chris, that you suspect that ferberizing is turned on, but it just didn't happen with this example because of the matching, there was not enough matching or whatever to make it ferberize.
Right. And so I'm going to try sharing one more time here. Let's see, where am I? So because here's an example, for another ebook where it does the multiple versions found thing. And so if you look at that one, there weren't nearly as many instances, but there are still, you know, there are two separate records. I think both of these were coming from the Alma side. Yeah, so both of these were from Alma. And because it was able to match, it put both the Safari and the eBrary links on them. And except for this one, this came over from P to E because right. our Vanguard load, yeah, we kind of accidentally left Safari in our Vanguard load P to E form. So those came through as separate records that stayed in institution zone.
Right.
And then we also had stuff active through SFX. And right. so in these cases, even though, like, as we were just talking about, the publication dates don't match here even.
Right.
But it was able to kind of figure out that these were the same book. And it wasn't able to for the other book, which actually, you know, now that I look at it, it doesn't look like this record even has an ISBN.
It doesn't have an ISBN.
So I have no idea why it was able to match these two that have no common ISBNs that don't even have the same date. And yet it was not able to match records that had the same date and that did have at least some common ISBNs. Weird.
Is it displaying?
I mean, the title is the same.
The title is actually the same on these two, where there were like slight differences.
Well, I mean, there's even slight differences here in capitalization.
Yeah.
Are the ISBNs actually displaying in the details tab?
I mean, they normally do under the identifier field.
I see. That's very strange.
Yeah, so I don't know what it is about these two that, you know,
that made them at all. Except for the title, which is even slightly different. Very strange. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what next?
Because this is going to be obviously a long project, and we kind of need that test load for everybody to look at. So I just want to quickly, while we have a little bit of time left, we do have deadlines for a couple forms that I have up on the ERM task force. I send out links for everything that's on Google Docs, but we need the checklists for one is tasks that need to be done post-migration, meaning it wasn't going to ever happen in migration. And then there's the checklist for things that should have migrated and did they. So there's two separate lists. And I have a couple of decision papers that I sent off to Luis to look at, and he does want those checklists included in the decision papers that I sent him. So I'm looking at the end of May. I have the deadlines on the wiki. So for those of you who have already done this Vanguard or already on ALMA, you probably have a better sense of things that need to be done post-migration, and then things that maybe you thought were supposed to migrate but didn't, or did they migrate, or did you find a bug? It kind of did migrate, but there was a bug. If you can, you know, Lisa, if you can remember that far back, sorry. But I'll send those links out, like I said, because they do need to be attached to the decision papers, and those have to go out to the working group, and then those have to go out to the general tech services. So it's about a month, I guess, we have to fill those out. But while you're thinking about those, also, you know, think about ebooks. Ebooks is never far from our memory, but I'll send out the links to the different forms that I started, and I think, was it Michelle, you suggested the references. I did start a column for the item. I started putting items in, and if there's a reference source for that item, which is an on-one display logic, which is actually, it's in fulfillment now, but I did add, you know, display logic needs to be set up, and then you need a reference to where that, what needs to be done. And so that kind of stuff, I started those, but so like I said, if you can think of things that one, you know, that need to be done after migration, and those that should have been done, that you start thinking about those different tasks. And like I said, if you can find a reference for it, Christine started a pretty good page, and I added one. So I believe everyone has edit capabilities on the wiki. If not, let me know. And if you find resources, also add them to that resources page so that they're available on the wiki. So I guess, yeah.
The documents though you have up, they're in Google Docs?
Yeah, they're in Google Docs. Yeah. I have the decision papers and the checklist are started. And then there's a folder, and in that is like reference information. I had some, like the San Marcos, their decision making on eBooks. So I put that in there, that kind of stuff. So there's this folder. If you have any reference information that you think, you know, we need, then you can load it up to that file. And then we have these working documents that are on the first level of the ERM task force on Google Docs. And I'll send out the decision papers that Luis finished. He finished them up, and then they go out to the working group to discuss, but I'll send a copy to the ERM task force. So any questions, anyone? Sorry, I kind of like ran through that, but this is a really good discussion about ebooks. There's a lot to discuss, so...
I'm not going to be much help on the migration stuff because we're still waiting for our data.
Yeah, yeah.
Would anyone object if I like threw myself on the mercy of the ALMA listserv and like asked for people who might be willing to talk to us about this? Like particularly people from Wisconsin?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, I might do that. I'm not too proud to grovel, so...
Yeah, I don't know how much help I can be with migration stuff either. because it was what, like 3 or 4 years ago for us,
yeah.
And I wasn't part of my implementation team. So things happened without a lot of times without my input and without my knowledge. And right now we're not really, because we're already basically on ALMA, we're not really migrating the same way that you guys are. So I probably won't be too much help. So Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, it looks like Chris and Christine are going to be very busy. They're Vanguard. Christine's not here, so.
So I think she can do it all then.
Yeah, exactly. You don't show up, you do it all. And I know she has a lot because she sent me many, many questions. And so that's where a lot of what I even wrote down, where it even came from. So I know that she has more because she ran into issues. And a big one was the proxy. It was set to all.
Oh, okay.
So, ooh, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem. Because then when you shut it off to selective, then you have to go back and you have to set up your proxy for everything.
Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah. So that was a big one. That's a lot of work. In fact, she decided to locally actually activate the proxy for everything and then go into the free resources and deactivate proxy instead of the other way, activating proxy, doing selective, and going and having to set it up for everything. She just went with, yeah, say yes to all of it, and then I'll just deactivate proxy for free. But I don't know if you run into issues with that down the road, if it's going to be automatically setting proxy to everything. I don't know too much about how that's going to work in the future, but I would say set it to selective like SFX was set to, so that you have a little bit more control over that setting up the proxy. I have more, and I'll talk to Christine too. Chris, you had a document too. I can't find it. I thought I had it. I was going to look at your document and start adding, but I can't find it.
So I'll say first of all that it wasn't really mine. That I think Lauren Magnuson put that together.
Okay.
But based on stuff that we talked about with Luis, and so it looks like in the ERM documents folder. I think, are you talking about that CSUN's e-resources testing migrated data? So it looks like it's in there.
Oh, is it in there? Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah, there it is. Okay. It looks like I did. Boy, I was very busy one day. I don't remember what I was doing.
So I have a question. So are we in the process of putting together a a checklist for the test load. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Putting together a checklist that we would use.
Exactly.
Once we test. Okay.
Yeah. And then we'll revise that. Then we can learn from that. And then after the, you know, the test data load, and we'll learn from that, and then we can create and we'll edit this list and then make it for the final migration.
Right.
So it doesn't have to even be like perfect, because, you know, some of, you know, not everybody has had a Vanguard load. But if, you know, there are certain things you think should migrate cleanly, like you're thinking, okay, this should migrate some simple electronic resources data in the record. It's like, think SFX. I mean, because that's where a lot of this is coming from. If it existed in SFX, then it should probably exist in Alma, because I've noticed it's funny having conversations about Alma, and they're like, well, you know, you have to activate this. I go, yeah, I know it's in SFX. I know that. And so it's just, I'll have funny conversations with the Alma folks because it's the same thing in SFX. So it's like, you have to go to a service, you activate proxy, you look at the crossref, you know, is it activated for that particular resource? And that's all SFX stuff. So, you know, if you use SFX, kind of think that does it exist in SFX, then it should exist in Alma, the same type of target services that are available. So you can kind of think of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So are we ready?
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. So yeah, I'll send those out, the documents that I've been working on, because I have a lot of documents. Some of it's just for myself. I put a PDE in there because we were at the CO trying to remember certain PDE questions. So I started a document for that. But like I said, I'll send out the links to the documents that we're actually working on, and I'll send out the decision papers. So thank you, everyone, for showing up, and great discussion. That was a really good ebook discussion. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jessica.
And we'll set up another meeting for another time, I swear. But thank you so much for showing up. That was great. Thanks.
Thanks, Jessica. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.